Well, hey, welcome into the Lone Star Playbook for the first time in 10 days. I'm Jordan Scruggs. That's Nick Harris. I almost said I'm Nick Harris. It's been a while. But hey, welcome in. Going to be talking some portal stuff, some stuff from the All-American Bowl, NFL college playoffs, like I said. What's up, Zay? Good meeting you this weekend as well. Hope the move-in went well at Texas yesterday. But going to start it off. There's been a few incoming transfers. Damn. He's over here playing with the door thing. My puppy is. Stop. Sorry. All right. So they picked up 13 portal commitments. Some of these guys have signed, if not all of them. I'm just going to hit on each one because I don't think there were any whenever we did our last show since it was the first day of the portal. But Justin Cryer, he's the younger brother of LJ Cryer, former Houston Baylor guard. Went to Katie Morton Ranch for 2 years, then transferred into Brookshire Royal for his final 2 years of high school.
That's how I know this kid. Okay. Yeah. I remember the name sounded super familiar. It was a Brookshire Royal kid.
Yeah, he originally signed with Northwestern, moved in June, and then less than a month after he moved in, Pat Fitzgerald got fired for the hazing stuff that he later proved to be innocent on. But he went in the portal after they fired Fitzgerald, ended up at Florida State, spent the last 3 years there, played all 3 years. I believe he had like 26 game appearances and 8 or 10 starts. Best case scenario for Texas, he's a depth guy. I'll get to him in a sec. Rasheem Biles is going to start, or at the bare minimum will be in the 2D playing starting level snaps. Cryer isn't quite the prospect as Biles, and he will be coming off the bench or rotating in. And then Zion Williams, folks might remember him. Texas finished second at a high school forum. He ended up choosing LSU. He's out of Lufkin in East Texas, his finalist for UT, A&M, LSU, and TCU. He was never going to TCU, but their D-line coach, Jamarcus McFarland, is kind of a family friend. They're both from Lufkin, and was going to end up at Texas. And then LSU hired Bo Davis. The Tigers swung it. He ended up in Baton Rouge. Part of that, too, his girlfriend in the same grade as him was attending LSU and decided that before he made his college decision. So are they still together? Is she even at LSU? I don't know the answers to that, but I do know he's at Texas now. So
Zion Williams was dating Haley Van Lith. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know? No. But with Zion, he's notable because he's an A-gapper. Texas needed those. The only one they returned on this year's roster is Josiah Sharma. They also picked up an A-gapper at Ian Giffrard, who I'll talk about in a sec. Who will probably be the starting nose tackle or A-gap or whatever you want to call him. But Zion Williams, he's the future of the position with Sharma. He has 4 years of eligibility left, redshirted his lone year in Baton Rouge, and is a guy that they're very high on out of high school. So I know it says 86 three-star for the portal ranking. He should be rated or ranked higher because he has legitimate NFL draft potential, whereas some of these guys like Cryer do not. And then Relique Brown. A lot of folks remember him out of high school. He was either like the number one, two, or three running back out of modern day. Is originally from Stockton, California, on the east side of California. And he was actually an OU commit at one point. Flipped from OU to USC whenever USC hired Lincoln Riley. Spent 2 years there, then went in the portal. His first time in the portal, Texas showed some interest, but wasn't, I guess, interested enough to get him to campus. He ended up at Arizona State. Spent 2 years there and then declared for the draft. It would have been a day three pick towards the back end of day three. But Texas, you know, got him on campus, got him signed, and he's in the boat. Mac Cimento, not much to mention here.
Hold on, on Relique Brown, I covered him quite a bit when he was in high school. Fans are going to love him. He's all-time energy guy, all-time vibes guy. And talking about the draft specifically, He was getting round three, round four buzz in a running back class, specifically with his gadget ability, and in a running back class that's obviously more down than last year's class that was super loaded, but is a little bit lower than usual. I think Relique would have ended up third or fourth round, but that playmaking ability that he has, And I'm sure we'll get into it whenever we talk about the other running back take that Texas took and Hollywood Smothers. But he's going to have such a unique role that it's going to carve out so many possibilities for this offense. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun seeing how Sark utilizes Relique Brown.
Yeah, and this is – I'm curious what you'll say about this because I know you're the leader of this fan club, but kind of some Reuben Owens to him, you know, unorthodox running back build, kind of a high runner, make-you-miss guy more than a run-through-your-chest guy.
Maybe as a ball carrier, sure. But like an overall game standpoint, I think he's super unique. His overall game reminds me more of like a Deuce Vaughn than it would a Reuben Owens, because they're going to split him out in the slot. They're going to split him out wide. They're going to have him do some gadget things. He's going to be a Swiss Army knife of a weapon for any offense that has him. I've always been a huge Relique Brown fan, and I'm glad that his career is finally – taking off at Arizona State and hopefully here in Austin too.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, portal punter Mac Chiamento, not much to mention here, came from Florida State and is expected to start day one in Austin. Rasheem Biles, kind of the bell of the ball. He's the portal's number two ranked linebacker out of Pitt. And Texas beat out a lot of schools for him. Michigan, Ohio State, he took like four more visits as well. Was one of the most coveted players in the portal, and Texas got him to sign before he left campus. Is a much better run defender than pass defender at this stage. He does have 2 years of eligibility left and will be a redshirt junior in the fall. So a lot to like there. He's either going to start right away from day one, or he's going to be the first linebacker off the bench that pretty much ends up with starting level snaps. So huge get there. And if I'm not mistaken, he either had like the highest – PFF like run defensive grade or he led the ACC in tackles or something. He led the ACC in something. I need to figure this out. And in case anyone missed it, Sam Levitt has committed to LSU. So Lane Kiffin and the Tigers have their quarterback, the portal's number one ranked player. Another top ranked player in the portal, the real bell of the ball, this Cam Coleman cat. Ever heard of him? Transfer portal's number one ranked receiver, number four overall prospect, future first round draft pick next April. Spent 2 years in Auburn. It didn't ever produce a ton, but to be fair, he had, you know, Ashton Daniels and Jackson Arnold throwing him the ball and for a team coached by Hugh Freeze. So, for what the context was, I think had some, you know, two pretty good seasons, a lot more talented than his production will show. And is immediately receiver one. I know Ryan Wingo's back in Austin, but I do think at the end of the season, Cam Coleman will have a larger share of targets, receptions, and yards. But, I mean, a tremendous addition for Texas, truly. I can't say enough good things. Not only does he make life easier for Arch Manning, you know, by having another NFL player out wide, he makes it easier for everyone else in the offense. For Ryan Wingo, for 12 personnel, the run game, the pass game, like adding him helps everything. And now, you know, the one thing on offense, now that they have receiver, you know, in the boat, running back in the boat, it's all on the offensive line. Because until they fix the offensive line or land some difference makers, which I expect them to, it's going to continue to be the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell meme where – Nick, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, exactly what you're talking about.
Where it's, if you draft Penei Sewell, it's Joe Burrows all day and can't find any receivers open. And then if you draft Jamar Chase, he's wide open, but Joe Burrow's sacked. So that is kind of the Cam Coleman situation right now, or at least how I look at it comically. But Michael Masunas, this is the guy that
– One note.
Go ahead.
I'm curious. I want to do an exercise with you really here real quick. So take what – Xavier Worthy did in his final season at Texas. Mm-hmm. Take what Matthew Golden did in his final season at Texas. Mm-hmm. And take what A.D. Mitchell did in his last season at Texas. Now, compare that with your expectations for Cam Coleman in 2026. How would you rank all four of those?
This is a great, great question. So,
because I think people are overhyping Cam just a little bit. He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I watched every Auburn game. I had a reason to this last year. It was brutal. Cam is a great player. Do not get me wrong. And he did not have good quarterbacks the entire time he was in Auburn. There were sometimes though you're like, Cam, what the hell are you doing? And it was it reminded me this past season from Cam Coleman reminded me of that sophomore season from Xavier Worthy, where it's like he apparently played with a broken hand and was dropping things left and right and running wrong routes. And it's just like, how are we doing this? You're 2 years into this thing. It's not the same, but it's similar. But yeah. Go ahead. Give me your four.
I don't know how to rank the other three. Like, we're doing this off the season they had, not the expectations I had going into the season they had.
Correct.
Okay. It's hard not to go Golden one. Like, by game six, it's like, hey, yeah. If Matthew Golden isn't on the bus, we're fucked. Like, that was Quinn Ewers in Texas every week. If he's not on the bus, we're screwed and are losing. So it's hard not to go Matt Golden one. I'd go Worthy 2, AD Mitchell 3. So then it goes, where does Cam Coleman fit in? What do I expect him to have? Probably around AD Mitchell, either just before or behind him. Yeah. I think it'll be kind of – I'm going to contradict what I said earlier. I probably shouldn't have said it'll be receiver 1 because I do think it'll probably end up being pretty even. But, yeah. Like, Worthy was technically receiver 1 whenever AD Mitchell was around. He led in targets, yards after catch. You know, touchdowns over AD Mitchell. But when they were in the red zone and it's 3rd and 8, the ball was going to AD Mitchell. When yeah. it was a big 3rd down or any big play, the ball was going to AD Mitchell. So I think it could be a similar, you know, situation set up with Worthy Mitchell with Coleman Wingo, where Coleman's AD, he's the guy to have a guy, and then Wingo is the guy that'll have more yards, more production. Because Coleman is more of a – this is to really, like, dumb it down, but more of a, you know, a possession, go up and get a receiver. He's obviously dynamic and athletic after the catch, but he's not the, you know, 6'2", 200-plus pound speedster that Ryan Wingo is. So Wingo is probably going to have more yards after catch and, you know, more yards per route run, yards per reception than Coleman is, but I do think Coleman is going to be the guy defenses are more worried about. How would you rank those?
I would rank them very similar to how you had it. I would go Golden, Worthy, Cam Coleman, AD Mitchell. And I think Cam Coleman's closer to AD Mitchell than he would be to Worthy. Pull up this comment here from Sticky12. Maybe he was checked out since they were getting bitch slapped every week. They had 7 losses. 6 of them were by 1 possession. They were in just about every game. And in the Iron Bowl, Auburn driving down to tie the game less than a minute to go, and Cam Coleman coughs up the ball at the 20-yard line, and they lose. So it's just little things like that. I'm not saying, like, hey, Cam Coleman's not what you should expect, yeah. But I am saying temper your expectations with Cam Coleman. He is not the savior of this entire world. Truthfully, honestly, if the reported or rumored number out there of what Texas paid him is true, I wouldn't have paid him that, but I understand wanting to go get a premier receiver talent if you're in a position like Texas where you have a quarterback like Arch Manning. He did not have enough playmakers last year, and you want to be able to maximize his last season. I get that. This is the time you maybe would overpay, but, man, they better hope he works out.
All right, so you said you don't think it's worth it. What number are you going off of for that?
What was it, like 4? Wasn't it like he got like $4 million or something like that?
You know, I haven't heard the number for what him in Texas the deal is on, but I mean, I talked to several agents, including one who is low key running the running back market. He has multiple dudes in the top 10 portal rankings for running backs, but he's a really good read on the portal what, you know, these top tier elite premium players are going for. And when I spoke with him a few days after Coleman went in the portal, he said he thinks 2.5 is the floor for negotiations and that he's going to end up getting north of $3 million. Wow. And for those that are interested, Jeremiah Smith made between like 3.7 and 4.5 this year. Jeremiah Smith is obviously Jeremiah Smith. He's better than Cam Coleman. But just, you know, to give a read on what the market kind of looks like for those premium receivers. Look, is paying $3 million to Cam Coleman worth it? Probably not, but that is the cost of business to get the top-tier elite players, and Texas was going to go get the top-tier elite player. He was the best one available. And, Nick, the question I ask you, if you don't want to pay for him and think it's over, what would you have done differently if you're Texas?
Yeah.
You needed to upgrade at receiver. 100%. The only guys that come to mind as clear upgrades over what Texas had is Cam Coleman, and he just signed to Florida. Eric Singleton,
yeah,
who was at Georgia Tech for 2 years, Auburn 1 year, and then 1 year at or he'll be at Florida for 1 year. So, yeah, and Zay, if you're getting this off On3, that's not accurate. It's from a computer-generated, like, algorithm. Like, I know numbers of some guys Texas assigned that are getting a mil flat, and the NIL number on On3 says 400K or vice versa. That's generated from an algorithm. Unless someone actually reported that it is 2.5. But it ain't my money. It ain't any of y'all's money.
Jake Bayless brings up a great point. What's the point of having FU money if you don't use it? I get it.
So
you can overpay. When you're in a situation like Texas, you can overpay and live with it. And you can live with the potential consequences of that, especially in a year, like I said, where you're trying to maximize Arch Manning. I get it.
I'll go back to these portal players here in a sec, but – I have a question for folks, and I'm going to ask y'all this question at the end of the, at the end of the 2026 season. So all throughout the end of last season, me and Hudson Standish, who is on the scouting team, you know, he went to Texas. We both cover and watch Texas extensively. I asked him, I'm like, hey, if you had to do cap cuts in the receiver room, who would you do? A cap casualty, which means cutting them to free up the money. I said, DeAndre Moore, Parker Livingston can go, Wingo, Mosley can stay. That's exactly what happened. I then asked Hudson, would you be cool with losing DeAndre Moore and Livingston for Cam Coleman? He said, no question. I said the same thing. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And whenever they went in the portal, Texas fans got upset, and I get it. Trust me, I get it. But how do y'all feel now? Do you think you won the trade? Won Cam Coleman for a DeAndre Moore, Parker Livingston? What do you think?
Yeah, and Leonga Lafau, and
well, we're talking about receivers. We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's a clear upgrade, no doubt.
Because, like, yeah, Moore and Livingston, they're good. They had experience, starting experience. That's important, and they did mean some, you know, mean a lot to that room. But I think Kalik Lockett's more talented than either of those two guys. I think Kalik Lockett has a higher ceiling than either of those two guys. Now, he's young, but he has to play to get better. And he can't play if he's behind those two guys. So I think it's fine. Jamie French, I don't really care for that one. That I've had that story wrote and in our back end since early November. So whenever he went in the portal on January, in whatever day it was, it took 10 seconds to post it. But I don't know. I love the ad with Cam Coleman. And I was asking people in San Antonio, or telling people, you know, people I work with, they're asking me, how do you feel about Cam Coleman? Like, man, I have absolutely no intel, just like the rest of this industry, but I do think Texas is going to get him. And they're like, why? What do you mean? And I was like, well, in high school recruiting, whenever Texas has multiple whiffs in a row, multiple losses, they will pay up and get a perception win. Now, most of the time, that perception win is a top-ranked player who also feels a need at a position, a need. But perception wins are very, very important. I know this sounds so stupid, but this is something every school in America does. Texas whiffed on everyone in the month of July in what would have been 2024. Well, guess who they got in August? Jonah Williams, Kalik Lockett, and Jamie French. At the end of that cycle in November and December, they were trying like hell to flip Michael Fasusi and several other players. They didn't get any of them. But guess who they got the final day of the early signing period? Justice Terry, who took one entire visit to Texas in 5 years. So with that in the back of my mind, I said, I think they're getting Cam Coleman because not only do they need him, it's a perception win thing. That is very real. And I know, again, it sounds incredibly stupid, but perception and everything, that gets thought about from these coaches, these staffs, these recruiting staffs, and it is important. So I do think that factored into it a little bit. But back to the rest of these portal additions, and then we're going to hit on these questions here.
Hey, hit on these next three. I got to grab my computer charger really quick.
No worries. Michael Massounis, a name that most people won't know. I mean, I don't think many Texas fans are watching Michigan State this year. But really, really good inline blocker, and that's what they needed. I've been begging for this for several months. Spencer Shannon was in year three this year and couldn't successfully block even half the time. Will Randall is in year three and is never really going to ever play at Texas. Jordan Washington went in the portal. Horrible blocker. He's now at North Carolina, I think. Oh, great. And then who else is on the team? Injuries to the NFL. And then Townsend and Imari Winston are never going to be like block first tight ends either. So they needed an inline blocker and needed an upgrade over Spencer Shannon. That's what Massoonis is. He'll be a fourth or fifth year player next year. He'll either be in his final year of eligibility or second to last year of eligibility. Can't remember off the top of my head, but 6'5", 260. And I mean, this is going to improve Texas's ability to run the ball, especially in 12 personnel. And the thing about him too, that's likable, besides just being a better blocker than Spencer Shannon, he's a much better receiving threat. Like, Spencer Shannon can't really consistently catch the ball unless he's running in routes right on the line of scrimmage and you throw it to his chest. And he offers no yards after the catch value either. Absolutely none. Massoonis can do that, and he can actually run a few routes as well. So I love this get. I think it's one of the more underrated gets in the portal for Texas and will end up being one of the most important puzzle pieces to the Texas offense this fall, because this was the very first season Steve Sarkisian and Texas couldn't consistently run 12 personnel successfully, and it took them like 8 or 9 games to figure that it's probably best to just spread the defense out and go, you know, 4 wide, 5 wide, whatever it is. So big addition there from Massoonis. Trey DeBook, Gianni Spedek, you know, portal long snapper and kicker addition, both should start. Pretty big deal. Spedek is on Scholly. I'm told DeBook is a walk-on, which is kind of interesting because now they have 105 scholarships. But nonetheless, he's not on Scholly. Talked about him earlier, Ian Jaffrard, 6'5", 387 pounds. A big boy.
Huh? 387. Oof.
Yeah, he's not Devondre Sweat, but the size comparisons are there for sure. Originally from Georgia, I believe small town Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, and originally went to Arkansas to play offensive line. They moved him to the D-line. In all 2 years he spent in Fayetteville, he played in every single game, had a few starts this year, and is the top-ranked nose tackle slash A-gapper in the portal. And this guy is going to start from day one as kind of the Cole Brevard, Travis Shaw. Because the only other A-gappers on the roster now are Zion Williams and Josiah Sharma, who will both be in year two and have a combined like 40 career snaps. So Jaffrard is going to be leaned on. He got paid the big bucks. Texas beat out like SMU, Missouri, and I think Miami for him. He only ended up visiting SMU and Texas only. But this was another big win. It got done early in the portal, so a lot of people have forgotten about it. But Ian Jaffrard, a great D-line addition. And I mean, Texas signed a really good D-line class last year. Hero Kanu, LaVon Johnson was in there, Travis Shaw, Cole Brevard, Marad Watson. I'd put Jaffrard up there in the same tier as like Hero Kanu, Marad Watson. He's up there with the best, if not the best, interior D-lineman Texas has landed in the portal under Steve Sarkisian. So, yeah, Dylan Sikorski. He's a guard from Oregon State. He's actually never given up a sack in his career, which is pretty impressive. He either has 2 or 3 years of eligibility left, could end up as a starter or depth. It's going to depend on who else they get. I see AJ XOXO asking about offensive line. Texas is going to get more offensive linemen, you know, this month. Some guys still need to enter the portal. That kind of points you in the direction of where it's going. Some guys still need to enter the portal. So just be patient. Texas, they need at least 3 of them. They know that. Like, with how much they needed running backs and a dynamic receiver and, you know, interior D linemen, linebackers, they've hit those positions really hard. And they've got great players at it. And they've cleared some good players from the roster to make room for these guys. They're going to do the exact same thing on the offensive line, which is an even bigger need. They're going to figure it out. Just be patient. Sikorski is going to be 1 of 3 or 4 offensive linemen they get from the portal. But his role in 2026 gets decided by who else they get from the portal. Hollywood Smothers, the most recent addition.
Question. Is Sikorski just left guard or right guard? Does he have center flexibility, tackle flexibility?
I'm not sure on tackle or guard or tackle or center. He's going to be a guard at Texas, though. And especially because yesterday Connor Robertson announced he was coming back for his 5th and final year of eligibility. So
that's a lie right there.
Huh?
That's a lifer right there. Could barely sniff the weight room for 3 years, and he finally gets his opportunity this past season. He's like, you know what? I'm coming back.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We'll talk about Connor Robertson in a sec because there is some interesting things there. But Hollywood Smothers, the most recent addition, the second running back take, RB1, RB1A, B, whatever you want to call him, and Relique Brown. It's funny because Relique's nickname is Hollywood too, so they now have two Hollywoods in their running back room. But with Smothers, originally started his career at Oklahoma, transferred out after 1 year. He's from Charlotte, went back home to the North Carolina, was at NC State for two seasons, and has like a career yards per carry of 6.2, which is pretty nutty. You know, I did honestly think Texas was going to try to aim for two different types of running backs because him and Smothers and Brown have some similarities. You know, you thought like a Relique Brown and a Jaden Ball, kind of a true thunder and lightning type of duo. That's not what this is. It's kind of lightning and lightning. So that'll be interesting. Maybe Derek Cooper becomes, you know, the big back, bruiser back. Jet Walker should be able to do it too, but in year one, I don't think so, especially since Cooper can do so much of the same thing. So, but nonetheless, great running back, highest ranked running back Texas has ever landed in the portal, number 34 overall prospect, and number two running back in the portal. And then last but certainly not least, Bo Masco.
Let me add on Hollywood Smothers. I can guarantee you that Texas ponied up a pretty penny to get him because he was probably going to go round two or round three in the draft. Experts and scouts really liked Hollywood Smothers.
He committed to Alabama and actually enrolled in the university, but he never signed his financial paperwork, and that's why Texas was able to flip him.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, and the same day, Texas flipped Hollywood Smothers from Bama and got Cam Coleman from Auburn.
Damn.
So it's taking it to the Yellowhammer State.
We've come so far from Steve Sarkisian's win in the state of Alabama being Justice Finkley.
Yeah, and like Ajay Hall and Jaleel Billingsley. Yes. Yeah, hopefully Hollywood Smothers doesn't leave the Texas staff afraid to be in a room alone with him like Mr. Hall did. But with Bo Masco, spent 3 years at Rutgers, redshirted year one. Originally committed to and signed to play for Mark Orfey, who's now at Texas. Played for Orfey for 2 years in New Jersey and then went in the portal. He also took a visit to Ohio State. I believe he took one or two other trips, but ended up in Austin. Someone who should start from day one. Obviously, you have Cade Phillips coming back, Grayson Littleton coming back in the nickel. Littleton can play safety, nickel, or corner. A lot of versatility there, so... with Masco, he'll either be competing with Kobe Black for the third corner spot, with the other two spots belonging to Littleton and Phillips, or they'll move Littleton to safety, maybe traditional corner, and then Masco will be a permanent starting corner. We'll see. How they frame this is going to be important because Kobe Black did enter the portal the day after Texas got Bo Masco. Kobe Black's now coming back. That's final. He's withdrawn his name from the portal. Or will if he hasn't already. So very curious to see what the snap count looks like for those four guys, Littleton, Phillips, Black, and Masco, because you do also have some older guys like Warren Roberson still in the room, who is the most veteran guy in the room along with Masco. They're both redshirt juniors or will be this fall. So, yeah, and then just going to speed through here, outgoing transfers, Christian Clark.
As you go through these, I'd be curious to know your perspective on
what happened.
Not necessarily what happened, but attrition or, hey, this one really does suck. They got to replace it.
Yeah, I got y'all. You're going to hear full honesty from me. I'm not carrying anyone's water. But Christian Clark, look, it is what it is. I get it. He was leaning towards coming back and said, hey, even if you go get a second running back, I'll still come back. Him and Texas agreed, had a handshake. They liked the number, but he did not sign. So whenever Texas landed Smothers yesterday, about an hour after, Hank Stout, shout out to him, broke that Christian Clark would be entering the portal. So not sure where he'll end up, I assume somewhere back on the West Coast, but he does have a pretty solid agent. So if he ends up somewhere random with a bag after going for 100-plus in the Citrus Bowl, shout out to him. Jamie French to Michigan. I don't think this is that big of a loss. They're paying him a lot of money. He didn't play it all year one. I know you could say the same thing about like a Kalik Lockett, but I think Kalik Lockett has higher potential than French does. And also, this is not trying to put French down. There are several Jamie Frenches each cycle. There's fewer Khalid Clockett types each cycle. Yeah. Just a body type, athleticism, it's a rare combo. Jordan Washington, this Texas pretty much pushed him out. They said, hey, we're going to have a deal for you. We're going to send it soon. And then that went on for like 3 or 4 weeks, and eventually they got the memo and just went in the portal. So that is a version of Texas pushing him out. But to North Carolina, shout out to him. Hopefully, you know, Chapel Bill figures it out. Bo Barnes. Now, this one is total horseshit, in my opinion. There are two scholarship linebackers coming back from this year's team, Ty'Anthony Smith and Brad Spence. Brad Spence played edge rusher the entire year. And Bo Barnes is supposed to be the future. Borderline five-star. Super talented, great kid. In fact, such a good kid that to commit to Texas, instead of doing it over the phone, him and his dad drove after school down to campus just to commit to the staff in person, because that's what it meant to him and his family. Wow. He had three different former Longhorns coaching him at Skyline. It's well documented. Peter Jenkins, the linebacker's coach, that was his position coach, former Texas linebacker. So many connections going for Texas. And this kid would have gone to Texas if I was the linebacker's coach. He always wanted to be there. And signs a two-year deal. After 1 year, they cut it almost in half, say, we're only going to pay you about this much for year two. And then he goes in the portal, and people act surprised and take it out on him. It's not his fault. It's Texas's fault. They tried to pull a fast one on him. And it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. A guy like him should not be at Kentucky. Shout out to Will Stein, by the way, at Kentucky. He's doing a damn good job. They've had some really good portal additions. Bo Barnes, one of them. I think this is total horseshit. I think it's something that will be regretted. And it is another red flag on Johnny Nansen's profile as a recruiter. Yeah. Seriously, we're going to go through all the recruitments Johnny Nansen has had. Tyler Atkinson, total money recruitment. It was always going to be who paid him the most. Guess what? Texas paid him the most. Sark was pretty much his primary recruiter as well. All right, so second highest ranked guy, Bo Barnes, just said it. He would have came to Texas if I was there. And then Kosi Okpala. Texas was his second offer. He told me the week after they offered him, before Nansen was even hired, I'm going to Texas. So two more gimmies. Rocky Cummings, pretty good eval identification. I don't know if that was Nansen that did it himself or the scouting team, but they did flip him from a Cal team that just fired Justin Wilcox, who he obviously wasn't going to sign to. And then Jonathan Cunningham, who chose Texas over TCU and Utah and can't even play linebacker because he can't put on weight. He's Mo Blackwell. So where has he done the best job?
Yeah.
You know, Ty'Anthony Smith, he's done a good job working with him, developing him, but I also saw Ty'Anthony Smith in high school more than anyone else. He was always going to be a good player. So who's his best example of development? Which recruitments has he won by himself for Texas? None. So he's Sark's best friend. He's going to be loyal to him to the end. I think that can end up being a mistake down the line. Right now, we'll see what it is. But, yeah, I have some strong opinions on the Bo Barnes situation, how that was handled. I think it was horseshit. Obviously, part of that was Brandon Harris, part of it Nansen. But, yeah, wish him the best at his next stop. And I bet the next time Texas plays Kentucky, they will probably be regretting getting rid of him that way. Daniel Cruz, this one has been in the works for a while. I mean, Jackson Christian can play center. So can Nicholas Robertson. Connor Robertson was coming back. That meant that Daniel Cruz wouldn't have had a shot to start until what would have been year four for him. So I get him wanting to leave. I think it was a mutual parting ways. Because if he did stay till year four to try and start, he probably would have been, you know, replaced by Jackson Christian, who would be in year three, or Nick Robertson in year two. Nate Kibble, kind of the same deal. He was just going to be a permanent backup, and he's going to Baylor. Same with Caleb Chester. With all due respect to Caleb Chester, I did always kind of question why Texas was taking him. Not a bad player, just not quite a Texas-level guy. when you've done this long enough, there are like five guys in every recruiting class where like there's no way this dude isn't eventually in the portal. Chester had the highest odds out of all those guys in the 25 class. Nato Umiozulu, y'all know the story here. Just stupid by Texas. I do think there's stubbornness there at some point in the year when Nick Brooks was that bad, when Connor Stroh was that bad. They were playing those guys over trying Nato, and I do think part of it is because if Nato went in there and played well, it would have made them look pretty stupid. I do think it's part of it.
And Nato is the newest member of the Fighting North Texas Mean Green. So
you're lying. He just committed to UNT?
Committed to UNT.
Wow, shout out to him. For those curious, Zena was going in the portal, but he's now coming back to Austin or Texas, however you want to call it. LaVon Johnson is going to Maryland. I don't have much to say on here. Antoine, you're right. I'll say you're right. He is Tia Sabea or Trill Carter. I do think he's more talented than both those guys, but yes, you are right. Parker Livingston to OU. It hurts. Hate the way it went down, but Texas got Cam Coleman. How much can you complain? Going to be very interesting, Texas versus OU next year. Very interesting. I've seen fans be like, first play, I don't care if it's targeting, knock his helmet off. And I'm just like, well, you know.
I don't blame the kid here at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't. Trey Wisner to Florida State. Boy, are Florida State fans in for a surprise. I'm curious what they paid him. I don't think it's $1 million he was asking for, though. DeAndre Moore, that looks to be Kentucky or Colorado. He's also visited, I think, Ohio State and a few other schools. But I read either this morning or yesterday he's expected to commit to Kentucky or Colorado at some point soon. Ricky Stewart Jr., I don't know if he's even going to be playing football anymore. If he is, it might be a JUCO. Yeah, Leonga LaFau, shout out Colorado. He was originally going to go play at BYU. They dropped a big number. I guess they either pulled that number back or Colorado exceeded it. Nonetheless, he's going to Boulder. Connor Stroh is going from Texas to Kansas.
Quick question about Leonga. Is that a push out or is that Leonga going and getting a bag somewhere else? Like that one hurts too.
He started like 28 games in a row.
Yeah.
And has played in every game Texas has played since 2023. But with Leonga, to my understanding, BYU reached out to his agent or him, whatever, said, hey, we'll pay you this amount. A lot more than Texas was offering. He went to Texas and said, hey, this school said they'll pay me this amount. Can y'all do that or anything close? They said, no, that's way too much. He said, see, I'm going in the portal. And they said, best of luck.
Gotcha.
And that's how it happened. And that's where I was told BYU that was the school that gave him the number. So when he committed to Colorado, it was kind of surprising. Connor Stroh from Texas to Kansas, they're paying him over $500,000, believe it or not.
Good for him.
Yeah, shit. He made less than I did this year at Texas, according to several sources. Good for him. I don't make jack shit, so shout out to him. He like 100x what his yearly salary was almost. Santana Wilson to Louisville. That one's an interesting pickup. Aaron Butler, we need to update this. He either committed to or signed with Oregon State. Same with Melvin Hills. We need to update this. He's going to UConn. How about that? Another Texas-Kentucky Wildcat, C.J. Baxter. And then Trey Owens going to Arkansas State. Will Stone to UCF in the bounce house. And then Jarrett Gibson to Purdue. You know what fit I actually like a lot?
Trey Owens at Arkansas State. You're just a big Red Wolves fan.
Hell no. Well, they also got Drew Dickey, my dog from Regents.
That's true.
Who spent 4 years sitting on the bench at Vanderbilt. Arkansas State screwed him. They told him he was the guy, and then a week later got Trey Owens. But
Drew Dickey is something that you do on your middle school desk.
So. Okay. That is pretty good, though. But Jarrett Gibson, I think, is a good fit at Purdue. I think he can be something there. Under Odom and that crew. Yeah. All right, we're going to hit on some of these comments. Let's see. Yeah, Nick, did you see this? Some A&M fan photoshopped a board post of mine to make it say that Arch Manning was going in the portal because Sark was going to the NFL.
Yeah, we're getting out of hand with this Twitter BS these days.
It happened during combine check-in day. My phone was in. I was away from my phone for like 20 minutes. And I come back and I have like missed calls and all these texts. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look on Twitter and it's this edited board post. I'm like, oh God, they're still mad at me because of what I reported on Marcel Reed from people inside the A&M building. Nonetheless, had to go on Twitter.
Do you want your platform for that, by the way? Do you want to explain it?
Hmm.
Do we need to explain that one away, the Marcel Reed one? Yeah. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. What happened here?
Okay. Marcel, or I should say Marcel's camp in October, November-ish, reached out to, okay, one, Marcel's from Nashville. I'll give you that. They reached out to an SEC program about next year, asking for $4 million. That SEC program said, no, we're good because we're about to get a 2026 five-star and flip them from another SEC school. Hmm. Yeah, right? So someone hears about that, calls A&M. A&M says, $4 million, that's an Elko decision. Some time passes. Agent, not Marcel's agent, calls A&M back. Hey, is he still asking for $4 million? Yeah, and we're not going to pay it. And A&M told him, like, hey, we want you back, but we can't pay $4 million. We're not paying $4 million to Marcel Reed. And then I'm not going to say the name, but they had a backup option if things wouldn't work and Marcel wouldn't take less money and ended up going in the portal. A&M had an option lined up with a quarterback who's currently in the portal and is committed to a school. And I would say that player is an upgrade over Marcel Reed. And I don't think Marcel Reed is a bad player, but like I don't – probably not a top five, top ten quarterback in college football. If he is, he's on the cusp. Still a good player, though. And, of course, a day or two after I report this, after Texags has been telling me to kill myself for however long, he re-signs with A&M, and they're all putting it in my face. And I was like, congrats. They're not paying him $4 million, though. There's no way it's over three. Because he made about 1.1 to 1.3 in 2025. You don't make 4X that next year.
Yeah.
At most three. But I can't imagine he's making anywhere over $3 million. So that's where that came from. It is not directly from Marcel's agent, but an agent who is close with the A&M front office and has several players on the A&M roster. And I also confirmed that with a source at A&M. Who people who follow the show will probably know exactly who I'm talking about. Like that was real. And it was funny too, because my Twitter's blown up from all this. You want to hear a text I got from a former A&M player who took a screenshot that was on Twitter and sent it to me. It said, please tell me you're right. I explained what I just explained. He's asked for $4 million. He's out his damn mind. I want an upgrade for sure.
Yeah.
This is a former A&M player. So while all the A&M fans are yelling at me because I said – I didn't even say Marcel was leaving. I said they might have a new quarterback. And they all took it as me saying, oh, he's gone. I said they might, you know, get myself some leeway there. But that's the situation. And it went on for about a week and a half. Where A&M fans are still mad at me for that. I don't know what they wanted me to say or do. And then they made the fake board post, and then I had to come say it's fake. So, yeah, shout out to the Aggies. Let's see.
Hey, fuck A&M fans. How about that? Let's just put it right there.
No comment. All right, Jake Bayless asked, are we still in on I don't know how to say this guy's name. Ulave? We'll say Ulave for now. He's the Cal linebacker in the portal. He's currently the transfer portal's number one ranked player and number 57 overall prospect. Sorry, I just got a text. But yeah, Texas, they're still in on him. It's going to be Texas or Michigan most likely. Michigan is kind of believed to be the favorite, but a lot of that thinking comes from the fact that no one really expects Texas to pay up for the top two ranked linebackers in the portal. They already have Rasheem Biles, who's the number two ranked backer. Ulave is the number one. We'll see if they can make it happen. I know Texas wants to, but right now the kind of belief is that he'll end up at Michigan. But that is the main name to know regarding players in the portal right now that Texas is interested in. And as Magic Man says, Michael Bennett to Oregon. He's the Yale offensive lineman that Texas brought in on a visit. I forget the third school that was in the running, but chose Oregon over Texas. Texas was a big fan of him. Sadir Mitchell to Wake Forest. I wonder if before he hopped in the portal and heard from them, if he even knew where Wake Forest was.
Hey, it's a good degree. It's a good degree.
We ain't, what's the Cardell Jones tweet? We ain't there to play school. But Patrick, I've been banging on the table for your Alvarado cat for a while.
And his house burned down? Yeah, come on.
Sorry about his house burning down.
Damn.
But yeah.
I feel like we have to go to an Alvarado game next year just to do it.
Well, I think he's a senior. That kid is.
Oh, is he? Damn.
Yeah.
Is he going anywhere, Patrick? Has he got anything going on?
Yeah, Patrick, is he going anywhere? Sticky said, nice to have you back. Nice to be back. Same with Nick. Sorry, catching up on these comments. Antoine said, Brian Carrington still using his H-Town connections to get Caleb Chester. Yes, but with all due respect to... Oh, wow, I didn't know Jaden Sanders was even in the portal. Committed to Notre Dame. But with all due respect to Brian Carrington and Caleb Chester, I don't know how many Power Four schools wanted Caleb Chester in the portal. And he committed pretty quickly, too, to Arizona State. Yes, Junior Day is next Saturday on the 17th. Hey, Nick, by the way, did you see Brandon Harris sneak this and James Blanchard on the timeline?
I did not see this.
You didn't? Okay, we'll pull it up.
Have you seen that Ty Simpson is apparently getting an offer of $6.5 million from Miami?
Me when I'm lying. Yeah, no shame. We're out here kind of like the Quinn reports from last year.
Agents are working double time out here. It's crazy.
All right. So James Blanchard, who's the GM at everyone's favorite program, Texas Tech, tweeted, I emoji. I wouldn't bet against the Red Raiders. #. True story. He tweeted this either the morning Cam Coleman left his visit or the morning of the final day of his visit to Lubbock. This is 2 minutes before Cam Coleman commits to Texas. Brandon Harris says, gorilla emoji. I wouldn't bet against the Texas Longhorns. #. Real story. #. All in. Stock up emoji. #. Back at it. How about that? Brandon Harris talking some shit. Love to see it. Any thoughts on this?
I love both of these guys. I can't decide. Both of them were always great to me when I was in the recruiting world. So I hope that this is friendly fire or like a friendly jab, you know, back and forth, but probably not.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, hey, Brandon.
I'm Switzerland.
Make sure he signed before they offer him $10 million or something. You know, like, watch Cade Ulave text about an offer, something nuts. But I don't know. I don't know how much you want to poke the bear with unlimited money. But it is a choice, and I'm all for the pettiness. So, love that. Let's see. Sticky said, I would have offered Malachi Toney a damn bag. Well, he's from Miami, and for him to be in the portal, he would have had to enter the portal before the national championship,
yeah,
which was never happening. Let's see. Yeah, I'm with you, Jake Bayless. Khalil Clark and Jermaine Bishop should contribute. Greetings from New York City. What borough are you in, Salvatore? CB said, what did French do with that Texas peace and chain he wore when he committed? Probably sold it for like half the price to Derek Cooper or someone else from Florida that likes some bling. I don't know.
It's in the same pawn shop on Riverside that I used to go to a lot to sell some random shit so I could eat food in college.
Next to Jamon Tapp's Hook'em chain.
Yes.
Woodcrest said, is Texas still drastically behind in the 2027 recruiting cycle? For some guys, yes. For some, no. I'll talk more 27 tomorrow because I did talk to a fair amount of their top 2027 targets this week because juniors can now play in All-American games. So, yeah. Let's see. Antoine said, how are Lockett and Bishop going to see snaps with the three in front of them? Well, these are the starters. Ryan Wingo and Cam Coleman out wide. Emmett Mosley should be in the slot. Didn't play it a ton this year, but he played like over 90% of his freshman year snaps in the slot. In his freshman year is when he led Stanford in every single receiving statistic and had like, I think, 800 or 900 yards. So he can play in the slot. Their backups, Kalik Lockett, I think, will play Cam Coleman's backup position at like Z or X or whatnot. I just think we'll rotate in for Cam Coleman. And then McCutcheon, Jermaine Bishop should be Jermaine Bishop, I think, can really only play slot or should really only play slot. So he'll be the slot number two or three. Dalen McCutcheon can be slot number two or three, but he can also play outside. So that's how I'd split it up. Chris Stewart, Cohen Brown, how much are they going to play as freshmen? I don't know. Unless they're on special teams, I do think the redshirting. Chris Stewart only played in like three or four games as a senior because he sprained his AC joint, and it just kept nagging throughout the year. So he also might need some time just to get his body right. But I do think Kalik Lockett is probably going to be the leader in snap count amongst guys who come off the bench after the three starters in Wingo, Coleman, and Mosley. So that's how I'd break it down. Let's see. David Keith Williams said, I've asked this question to insiders before, but what is your view of John Meredith running a 4.29 40-yard dash? I saw a recent report stating that. I did not think he was that fast. I don't know about 4.29, but I do know he's gone sub 4.5. He went sub 4.5 at Under Armour Dallas. And I think he still has that post up on his Twitter. I think he hit low 4.4s or high 4.3s. I don't know about 4.29, though. Yeah. Did you see this, Nick? Ajai Hall declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's insane. That's crazy to me. That is
my
crazy.
Thing is, like, what agency brought him on? And two, what agency has enough power to get that many reporters to report that Ajai Hall is declaring for the draft?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Insane. Let's see.
Did you see Brennan Thompson declared for the draft, which I found a little interesting. I thought he'd maybe go back for one more year, but
I think he was out of eligibility.
I think did his first season at Texas not count as a redshirt?
Let me see. I have PFF pulled up from this morning. I saw his mom and Anwar were going at it.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. That was an interesting one.
An interesting one. Let's see. He played in Texas sincerely fucked him. He played in 8 games at Texas. But in 6 of these games, he played 7 snaps or less, including 2 with only 1 snap and 2 with 5 snaps. So, yeah, he's done. He's out of eligibility.
Wow.
Let's see. Yeah, right. Sorry, still catching up. Yeah, Sam Levitt to LSU in case anyone missed it. Is Zeke Uiagalelei coming back to UT next year? That is a great question. I assume so. He is a walk-on, though, so it probably won't matter much one way or another.
What does he play, corner?
Safety.
Okay. He plays water boy.
Be nice. Dude, I will say, though.
You do it.
This is all on the Uiagalelei's. Dude, none of us knew Zena had a twin.
Wow.
None of us knew that.
Wow.
And we only found out because he's part of like, I think it was TrueBuzz who did this. You know, he's part of like a developmental organization, whatnot. He commits to Texas going into his senior year, like a week before school starts that year. TrueBuzz is doing like a media day thing with all their guys across DFW. And like they all have their own table and like a bunch of media is there. We interview them. It's all like 24/7 Rivals guys. I'm not there, but I see Jason Howell, who works for TexEggs, post a photo like Zeke Uiagalelei starting to pick up interest. I was like, who is this? I've never seen this kid or heard about him at Allen games, and I went and saw Zena. And I figured out they were twins that day. But I seriously didn't know he existed until after Zena committed to Texas. I don't think many people did. But, yeah, he's a walk-on defensive back. He wore number 41 this year. Let's see. Yeah. Marcel, it's always a good one. Yeah, well, not exactly. Speak on Corey Daly and Jamarian Carlton on the All-Star game. Might need to change my pants talking on Corey Daly. That's my nephew. You see, by far and away, best quarterback performance of the game, of the week. Absolutely love this kid. 6'6 and a half, near 200 pounds, four-year starter at Seguin High School. Nick, listen to this. He was either all-district or the district MVP in football, basketball, baseball, and track.
Wow.
Yeah. Hasn't run track since his freshman year, hasn't played baseball since his sophomore year, but he averaged over 20 points a game and I think north of like 13 rebounds a game in basketball as a junior. His dad is the head coach at Seguin. He used to be the head coach at Clear Springs and actually, believe it or not, hired Blake Baker on to be his linebackers coach way back in the day. And he won a state championship as a QB's coach at Katy whenever they beat Lake Travis in 2016. So, really, really good kid. I'm so happy for him. I'm happy for Pitt. I couldn't tell you how many people I reached out to, DM'd, called about him early on because QBs get recruited so early, and no one wanted to even invite him to camp. And Pitt is still the only Power Four school that offered him. He committed there, signed there. Is their first, I believe, All-American quarterback or QB to play in an All-American game. And, I mean, just a great story. Great kid, great story. I think if he was in 2027, he'd be the perfect commit for Texas following up Dia Bell. He's a kind of low floor, low floor, but super high ceiling, has a lot of upside. Just a great player. Jermarion Carlton, on the other hand, freak show. I can't say enough good things about him either. Nick, Jermarion Carlton at this event last year was 232 pounds. Guess what he weighed in at on check-in day this week or last week?
262.
275.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
So he's put on 33 pounds in about a year, all while playing football, basketball, and running track in between. So super impressive. Very little bad weight on him. A lot of it's muscle. And I can't wait to see what he looks like 3 to 4 years down the line after he's been in a college strength and conditioning program. Didn't have a super crazy week. Wasn't super splashy, but was consistent throughout the week in practice, in the game, had a tackle for loss, several pressures. Last year, I don't want to say he didn't look like he didn't belong because he did belong, but physically what he looked like as a 6'4 and a half, 230-pounder next to a kid who's a year older that's a 6'7, 350-pound, five-star offensive tackle, it looks different, right? Now he belongs, he's always belonged, like I said. But he blends in perfectly well. I think he's going to, have a great career at Texas, has a bright future. And I do think the only thing that's going to prevent him from getting to the NFL is injuries, because he's got the right mindset. He's a smart kid, proud to be the first person in his family to ever attend college, blue-collar kid from Temple, and a great story. So, again, I do think the only thing that could limit him from being an NFL draft pick one day is injuries, because he has all the traits, God-given tools, and everything between the ears. So, yeah. Hey, did you see this rail to Oregon?
Yes. Yes.
You know what's hilarious? When he first went in the portal, they were trying to hit up Oregon and like be interested. And Oregon like responded like, "We're not interested." And they reached out to a ton of reporters because they all reported Oregon was not going to be in the running for Rayola at the exact same time, within like an hour of Rayola actually being in the portal. So I don't know who they missed on, who they had in front of him to make him the guy, but they swung and missed on several players before they got to Rayola, because when he first went in the portal, they put the bat signal out there. They weren't interested. So let's see. Okay, nice. This is on our boy at Alvarado, Nick. Let's see. Yeah, hey, imagine, Nick. Imagine. Hank and I were talking about that. Let's see. He was balling. All right. Nick, if you got to run too, you can. I'm just going to finish up on these questions. I know we're already running late. Out.
But everyone have a good week. See you all on Friday.
Peace. All right. So I'm just going to speed through these. Said, although losing and gaining players from the transfer portal is not final, if you had to give a grade to Brandon Harris for creating a championship level roster, what would it be? All right, instead of doing like A plus or B minus or like C plus, that type of grading scale, I'm just going to do, I'll do 0 through 100, 100 obviously, 100 out of 100, great. Zero is obviously zero. Right now, I'd put it somewhere between like 83 and 87. It's going to depend on these O-linemen, who they get. And honestly, I'd be cool as between 75 and 80. Because, I mean, hey, you can get all these great skill players. That shit's not going to matter if they don't figure out the O-line. They have one guy in. They need two to three more. And that is the main priority going forward with the rest of the portal, is figuring out the O-line. So somewhere between 75 and 85 out of 100 is how I'd grade them. Let's see. Yeah, Antoine, yeah. It's also funny whenever it's like guys that are so obviously not going to be drafted that declare. And it's like, dude, just you probably would have been better off, you know, dropping the link to your LinkedIn or something. But, yeah, man, Shticky, Jai Hall is not getting drafted. He could run a 4-1. He is not getting drafted. And if he is, it's like Mr. Irrelevant. That dude is a flight risk. Like, quite literally, he's a flight risk. He brought, like, 4 pounds to the airport. So, yeah, Dave Keith Williams, this is also what we always said about Zena. Nathaniel Loper said, any insight on any portal offensive lineman Texas is looking at or should go after? Yeah, he is currently on another team. A few of them are the main targets. So they're waiting on those guys to go in the portal. And it has been essentially impossible to get names of offensive linemen that they have interest in the cycle. They're trying to keep it quiet on purpose. You know, sure, they'd like to help us out with our jobs, but the second they tell me, yeah, John Smith is our top offensive tackle target, and I go and report that, it's going to run up his price because his agent's going to take the number and send it to other schools and say, hey, Texas will offer this. This is how much they value him. And then Texas has to pay $500K per year for the player because the source was nice enough to give me some scoop and I reported it. So we're getting very little intel. I completely understand it. I would be doing the same thing if I was in Texas' shoes. So outside of saying names on others on other teams' rosters, which I won't, that's pretty much the answer. So, yeah. Yeah, David Keith Williams, I actually counted. They had four total commits / signees in the Under Armour All-American game and the Navy All-American Bowl. Only one in the All-American Bowl, that was Jermarian Carlton, and then the three in the Under Armour game. Mikey Bukauskas, the punter from Prosper. Nick Robertson, the center / guard signee from Klein High in Houston. And then Easton Royal, the five-star receiver commit in 2027 from New Orleans. So those are the only four. And I thought about doing Under Armour this year, but once I saw those were the only three guys going, I was like, this is a waste of time. So, yeah, and I'm not going to drive to Orlando. I can drive to San Antonio. That's no problem. So, yeah. Do I think there will be any ranking adjustments prior to the final 26 class rankings being released? The final rankings will come out at the end of January or early February. Guys for Texas that can move up, let me pull up this class. I'm just going to run through each player. Jermaine Bishop is going to stay a five-star. Dia Bell is probably going to drop out of the top 32 or being a five-star, just letting you know. Tyler Atkinson is probably going to stay put just outside of five-star range at 38. Kosick Paulo, Richard Wesley, Samari Matthews will all stay put. Derek Cooper should stay put at 156. Jermarian Carlton is probably going to be back in the top 100. Probably not top 50, but somewhere between 50 and 100 after this week at the All-American Bowl. James Johnson, John Turrentine, they're going to stay put. Hayward Howard would stay put. Torrey Davis, if he gets a bump, he'll be an unranked, a nationally unranked four-star. Chris Stewart will stay put. Rocky Cummings might get a four-star bump. Nick Robertson is an 87 three-star. He might get bumped to an 88 or 89, doubtful for a fourth star. And then pretty much everyone else, Cohen Brown, Jet Walker, Miami Riley, Charlie Gillick, Caden Scherer, the three specialists, they're all going to stay put too. So, not a ton of movement for Texas. Woodcrest, I'm with you. It kind of is it for Sark. If he goes 9-3 and misses the playoffs, I don't know if he's back in 2027. Those are the standards of Texas. Missing the playoffs back-to-back years, the 2 years you have Arch Manning as your starter, and the pressure on him getting to the playoffs and the pressure on him if he misses the playoffs is going to be amplified if Texas is left out of the dance with A&M and Tech in it again for 2 years in a row. So, very big season for Texas. I don't want to call it make or break for Sark, but it's pretty damn close to it. Like you said, no excuses not to make the Natty. I don't know about the Natty. They have no excuse to not be in the playoff, regardless of what the schedule is. They have to be in the playoff. So, yeah. David Keith Williams, this will be the last one I answer. Said, who are your most important offensive and defensive recruits for Texas to get in the 27 recruiting cycle? For 2027, hard to not pick Easton Royal. He's really good. I think he's better than anything that Texas has ever landed at receiver out of high school. I don't know about like DeCorian Moore level special, but pretty close to it. I like him more than I like Khalik Lockett or Jamie French or Jonte Cook or, you know, name whomever. I'm not throwing Worthy into that category. So yeah, Easton Royal. I wouldn't hate Ismail Kamara from Gilmer. I really love the story. He's from France originally, you know, was in Florida, then ended up in Gilmer, probably going to end up at UT or A&M, could be a tackle or guard, really anything, could be an interior D lineman as well. So, yeah, probably Easton Royal or Kamara. I get what you're saying with Kennedy Brown, but his injuries are kind of scaring me. And great length, but he is also 6'4". So, we'll see about, you know, him and tackle. Now, on defense, I want to say Cooper Witten, but Oklahoma just hired his dad. He ain't going to Texas. But on defense, they need to figure out linebacker. You know, I know they have Atkinson coming in. Someone else like that would be terrific. I love Jaquan Snell, the A&M safety commit. There's kind of some overshown to his game. I think you're actually who brought that up the first time. But I don't know. I'll go John Meredith. He's the best corner I've seen at the high school level, not named Devin Sanchez. They're very close, but I think Devin is better. I think he has a better mental eval. But that doesn't mean John Meredith won't play in the NFL for a long time, because he will if he stays healthy. So that's who I'd go with. Easton Royal, Ismail Kamara, and then John Meredith on defense. So, yeah. I lied. This will be the last one. Any of these local Weiss kids good enough? Maybe Fields from Hutto. Fields should have an offer. It's total bullshit. And then at Weiss, Trey Moore has an offer. The other guys right now I don't think really should be getting one. Besides Tylan Henderson, the 2028 linebacker. He has Miami, A&M, Ohio State, I think USC now, Alabama. But not Texas. What a coincidence. So that's where I'd go. Tylan Henderson definitely deserves one, and Jaden Fields, in my opinion. But yeah, we're getting out of here. Up next, Fanatic Perspective recaps the big weekend for Texas football, including the additions of Cam Coleman and Hollywood Smothers. It's great being back. Today was our first show in 10 days. I'll be back on tomorrow, likely with Wags. Got to double check that with him. But nonetheless, appreciate everyone who tuned in today, and appreciate No Hinojosa for the donation of $20. We appreciate that. Y'all have a great one. Steven Delgado, David Keith Williams, Woodcrest, Noah Hinojosa. Hopefully I'm saying that correct. Zay Capilot, of course, Nathaniel Loper, Sticky, Antoine, Johnny Jackson, the Emperor, the whole crew, CB, of course. We appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great Monday, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.